Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/ Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis Podcast 22 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Share in the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. So the French Open concluded this past weekend. A big congratulations goes out to Garbiñe Muguruza and Novak Djokovic. Muguruza won her first Grand Slam singles title, defeating Serena Williams in two tightly contested sets. Meanwhile, Djokovic won his 12th major, and more importantly, finally added his name to what is now an Elite Eight men who have achieved the career Grand Slam. As we have pondered after several other big tournaments from earlier this year, did we learn anything about the top women and men players and contenders after this French Open? In part one of this French Open postmortem, let's take a closer look at the WTA at some of the top players and possible contenders for the remainder of the year, now that we are at the halfway mark of the 2016 season. Now, regarding the women's tour, I am still of the belief that not much has changed from the start of the year, that things are still very much up in the air, and that it will continue to be that way until one or more of the top players, not named Serena Williams, can step up, avoid the early upsets, and consistently go deep into the tournaments. Now, even though Serena again fell short of winning her 22nd Grand Slam singles title, she has really been the only player on the WTA in recent months who has consistently lived up to her seed in the tournaments she has entered. It's been largely hit or miss with the other top players due to a variety of reasons, including, of course, injuries. You know, going into the French Open, Muguruza had not played well. Her results had been, well, spotty all year, leading some to question everything from her health to motivation. It was only a few weeks ago at the BNP Paribas in Indian Wells when Muguruza was, heard saying to her coach, "I don't even want to play," while down a set and 0-3 in the second set, en route to getting bounced out of the tournament in her opening match versus Christine McHale. Overall, Muguruza has been on a nice climb for the past couple of years since beating Serena in dominating fashion in the second round of the 2014 French Open. And, she was a finalist at Wimbledon last year in 2015 and reached a career-high ranking of number 4 at the end of 2015 with strong showings in Asia and as well as the WT Finals. Muguruza, with her win at the French Open last week, is now the number 2 player in the world. Now, Muguruza has a big-time game. She can dominate and beat anyone at any time. The question moving forward is whether she can make the necessary adjustments to win on all surfaces and conditions. I had tweeted prior to the French Open finals that if conditions remained damp, heavy, and slow, that it would favor Muguruza, who is a good but not a great mover. Heavy and slow conditions gave Muguruza that little bit of extra time to get to the ball, set up, and pound her penetrating ground strokes. She is one of the few players who can truly power her shots right through those heavy conditions. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, well, gee, wouldn't the same apply to Serena? Well, if we're talking purely about slower conditions affording a tad bit extra time to get to the ball and set up, then yes. However, as I've mentioned in a previous podcast, almost all of Serena's matches, at least in recent years, except seemingly the ones against Sharapova, are plagued by lots of ups and downs in terms of her focus and quality of play. Serena gives away a lot of points in every match, which, makes it very difficult to overcome. Now, being the great champion that she is, Serena has been able to overcome those spurts of inconsistent play throughout a match more often than not. But it's the steadiness of play at that high-octane level. That's what really made the difference this past weekend. And that's why I thought the dampness and heavy conditions at Roland Garros would be in Muguruza's favor, as her play tends to be a tad bit more steady than Serena's. I'm curious to see what kind of adjustments Muguruza will make moving from the slow, heavy clay court conditions at Roland Garros to the fast, slick, low-bouncing grass courts at Wimbledon. Muguruza beat Serena last week by playing a very aggressive style where she hit a lot of balls from inside the baseline and took them on the rise, robbing Serena of time and keeping her under constant pressure. As I've mentioned, the slow and heavy condition last week allowed Muguruza to play this style and execute it effectively. However, I do not believe she will be able to implement the same style with the same effectiveness on the faster, slicker grass surface at Wimbledon. She will likely have to play from a step or two behind the baseline to afford herself a little extra time to hit her ground strokes. Otherwise, she's just going to rob herself of time. Now, even though Muguruza won her first major this past weekend by playing great tennis and beating Serena in the process, we'll have to wait and see as to whether winning or at least getting very deep into tournaments is going to be the norm for her, or if we are going to continue seeing, you know, some perplexing early and mid-round exits from her. You know, I'm optimistic Muguruza will eventually be a mainstay in the top two or three for many, many years to come. But we'll have to wait and see if that consistency and dependability begins now or sometime down the road. Serena Williams, in my view, is still the one to beat at every tournament she enters until further notice. That said, what we have been seeing over the past three majors and other big tournaments where she has come up short is that it's become much more difficult for Serena to overcome those frequent patches of inconsistent play during her matches, especially against top-shelf opponents. The combination of injuries and, well, father time are catching up to Serena, thus reducing her margin for error in these big matches. I still believe Serena will at least tie Steffi Graf at 22 Grand Slam singles titles sometime in 2016. I mean, both Angelique Kerber and Muguruza outplayed Serena in each of the Grand Slam finals this year, and each deserve to win, so you have to give credit where it's due. But I'd be remiss not to mention that on both occasions, Serena ran into opponents who not only ran hot for those 2 weeks of that slam, but who are probably the two players ideally matched up to beat Serena. At the Australian Open, Kerber's lefty forehand return effectively neutralized Serena's favorite kick serve out wide in the ad court. And at the French Open, as we talked about earlier, the slow, heavy conditions from the wet weather in Paris made Muguruza an even tougher opponent. You know, the positive for Serena is that she is obviously still capable of putting herself in prime position to win majors. I'd be surprised if 2016 ended without Serena adding at least number 22 to her list of achievements. Now, looking forward to Wimbledon, Serena should still be the favorite to win. And it would be understandable if Muguruza had a little, well, first slam hangover going into Wimbledon and did not make it into the second week of the tournament. You know, the one player I believe who can take it all, regardless of the competition, is Petra Kvitova. The big question with Kvitova is which version will show up, the two-time Wimbledon champ or the erratic, often unreliable to her seed player we have seen all too much of in recent months. There is little debate that when Kvitova is playing well and on the grass surface, she is virtually unbeatable. But given the general inconsistency and volatility of her play, it's a big if, so we'll have to see. In any case, it's always a quick turnaround from the clay courts to grass. Wimbledon starts in 3 weeks on June 27th. So grab your popcorn and antacids. I think we're going to need it as the unpredictability of the women's game continues. So enjoy. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.